Right, we are back with Ryan Littleston, who's director and trading analyst for Forex Live. How are you this morning, Ryan?
Yeah, well, fine and dandy, Zach. Yourself?
Right. I hope you weren't caught out by any post-Doha dip.
No, I stayed well away from it in the end.
Chicken. No, I mean, there was that sort of, there was a big, a sharp markdown in sort of everything, really, just either overnight, on the Sunday or in the morning.
Yeah.
Is that something you just in general just say, I'm just not going to get, if there's an event risk like that, I'm not getting involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, I was interested in getting involved. I was thinking about shorting oil into the weekend, but, you know, these clowns, they just don't know what they're doing. So the risk of what they were going to do, what they could do, was just too great. And when it's too big, I'll wash my hands of it and say, no, not touching it.
Okay, all right. Well, obviously, you don't get paid by being a daredevil in the markets, do you? Sensible, thought-out strategies. The first market today?
Dollar CAD. Obviously, you had a big effect yesterday on the open after Doha, obviously, oil-related currency. There was a couple of warning signals. You know, the oil didn't fall as much as people were expecting. And first thing in the morning, I looked at it and thought, well, you know, I was expecting, you know, down $5-6 maybe. And it was only down $3, and it jumped back from there. And so the signal was like, well, hang on a minute, you know, this might not be going down as much as people expect. You know, we heard stories of, oh, it's going to $30 in a couple of days, and, you know, all the doom-mongers come out. And the same thing with currencies. You know, currencies are moved against it as well, and dollar CAD had broken a level, big level I'd been watching, 128.20, 128. I've been watching that for quite a while because I fancied a long from there, but it busted it last week, went through it pretty easily, and then it went back above yesterday, and then as oil started rallying again, it's gone all the way back through again. So it's more a case of, when you look at a chart, you can pick some nice juicy levels, but you've got to judge a market at the time. You've got to look at what's going on at the time, and it's trading oil, not anything else.
Right, and the other thing here is the decline from that peak, around the turn of the year was quick. Very, very quick initially. It's sort of slowing down, slowing now. So, we sort of assume that at some point soon it'll find the final floor.
Yeah, well, there's still a nice area around that 126.70 area. That's the July 2011 Fib there, the 38.2. It's also a half decent support point going back to January 2015, so it's another strong level, you know. And if we move down to there, then again, that could be a decent place for a long trade.
Right. So on guard for that. Would you have an order in there, or you just wait for it to sort of settle down around that zone?
With oil moving like it is at the moment, I'll wait for it to go down there rather than stick an order in, because, you know, then you're in and you're not knowing what the trade's, perhaps what's going on at the time if you miss it. But yeah, I'll play it as it comes down there.
Okay, well, let's go on to the next chart.
Yes, so that's really just showing the break. You know, we had the 129 level here, which again, it sort of messed around that a bit. Then we held below. And when I look for break trading, I'm always looking for that confirmation. So you see it and then you get that confirmation. Then again, it went through that 128.20 level pretty easily. Again, we had the confirmation that it was staying below. And then it was back up above 129 held again. So, you know, when you're looking at that, you're thinking, okay, I'd like a long-term trade from that 128.20, but it's just too messy. It's just too messy. So either you can trade it, but you need to keep it tighter than you would normally. If I'm trading long-term, then I'd look to maybe building a down to that next level at 126.70. But when it's not dollar CAD that's trading, it's oil you're trading, then it changes the landscape.
But isn't it one of those things that it's actually better just look at the chart of the market you're involved in, rather than trying to check around the globe for different sort of factors that might be affecting it? Because that just drives you nuts, doesn't it?
Oh, because
and also get you to the wrong decision as well.
Yeah, because you can find five other different markets to trade, and you think to yourself, well, I might as well just trade oil in the first place. And that's the case. You know, if we didn't have Doha, if we didn't have all this coming out on oil, I would have traded that 128.20 level.
Right, and so here you're not tempted at sort of like bottom fishing or anything else like that. You've got the bigger level, the 126.
Got the bigger level for a long. If we see this 128.20 level hold again, I may be looking at trying to short there. But again, I'd keep it pretty tight, probably above just above 129 somewhere, because if we hold below that strong level, that's a big signal that we're going to have another test of the downside. And then you find out that, as we can see, we've got a sort of lows coming in here at around the 127.40-50 mark. That's where the support is now. You know, you let the price action develop, and so now you trade between 128.20 and 127.50 until it goes either way.
All right, OK. Have we got another chart, or is that...?
No, I think that's it.
We're done on that. So are there any other markets that you're thinking there could be an opportunity? I'm waiting, you know, obviously you're waiting 126.70 here. Are there any other markets that you've got on your watch list?
Yeah, a lot of the commodity currencies, they're making some big break moves. You know, we're seeing Aussie dollar, you know, well above 77 now, looking at 78. You know, the Kiwi, that's breaking out now. And these are ranges that have held for quite some time. And when you see these big breaks, you know, you've got to look at going with them.
You know? And do you think they're echoing the revival in the commodities area? Or are they, you know, which is the tail? Is it the tail wagging the dog? which way around is it?
It's the same old story with growth. You know, one minute everyone's panicking that China's going down the pan and growth is dropping and, you know, that hits commodity currencies. Then you get days like today when, you know, everything's bright and breezy and, you know, there's not a problem in the world. You know, we're seeing the dollar up, we're seeing commodity currencies up, stocks up, oil up.
So, you know, it's a bit of a melt-up, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is, but it's not huge. You know, next week we could be doing the complete opposite because China's, you know, dropped something or one of their PMIs has come out worse than expected and everyone's moaning and worried again and down it all comes.
Don't you think, I mean, the story of 2016 today has really been, we were fooled by the China story. It wasn't as important and it wasn't as bad as it was supposed to be for January.
Yeah, but it never is as bad. You know, whenever we get these events coming up, everyone's like, oh, you know, it's going to drop, economy's going to drop, GDP's going to drop, the debt's going to blow up. 2 weeks later, everyone's like, well, it hasn't happened, so everything's all right in the world. But it comes in waves, you know. We know growth is going to flatline. It is going to flatline for the foreseeable future. You know, no one's going to be booming anytime soon. And so we're just moving in these waves of 1 minute positive, 1 minute negative.
But I mean, from my memory, which goes back, you know, to more than 25 years on these things, you had the set for China now, you would read Japan.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, just like any time that Japan, you'd open up in the morning, you know, open the morning, Japan's down 5%. Almost all those opportunities were by the dip.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's the Western markets which are in charge, and yep, those are just emerging or their side markets.
Yeah, but then obviously now we've got Japan. Everyone's question is Abenomics working? Can the Bank of Japan do more? You know, how much more QE or QQE or QQQQE can they do?
Well, good luck to them is all I can say. Yeah. Ryan Littleston, Director and Trading Analyst for Forex Live. Thank you very much for coming in today.